You're listening to Finding the Home, part of the Lawrence Podcast Network. You can find us online at lawrencepodcastnetwork.com.
Finding the home, wherever we go, with the family dog, we're a fun trio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the newest episode of our podcast. We're very excited to be coming at you live from Baja, California. I'm Max.
I'm Kendall.
This is Ralph over here, and we are
Finding the Home. Also, we're not coming to you live. We are recording this at night on Sunday, January 13th, I think. Coming at you live from the van. It'd be cool if it was live. Maybe in the future we can do something like
that. One day. The internet's not good enough where we are right now. We are in the parking lot of a hotel that looks amazing. It looks beautiful.
It does. It looks quite nice.
There's a restaurant. It seems quite nice. We're in the town of Vizcayón in Baja. Is that not it?
I don't know.
We are near San Ignacio in Baja, California. And this hotel that we found on our handy little trusty app, iOverlander, it's a normal hotel. It's got rooms and all that, but then it also allows for RV parking in the back. So yeah. That's where we are.
We're here.
Hanging out. We got power. We got water.
We got Wi-Fi.
We do have Wi-Fi. It's a bit slow.
Meh.
But we're making it work.
Beggars can't be choosers, man.
Excellent point. Well, Kendall, my lovely wife, I have a couple questions for you. I imagine we'll just go back and forth with some questions for each other. But before we get into those, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about how we got to Baja, California.
Yes, how it all came to be for us sitting in this parking lot tonight.
We decided when we set out to take this trip that, well, we knew that we couldn't really fly anywhere because we've got Ralph, our lovable dog Ralph. And so we decided that the van was a great solution to being able to travel to the places that we wanted to get to without needing to get onto an airplane. And one of the things that was important to both of us was getting out of Colorado for the winter.
Yep. Although we really shouldn't complain all that much because Colorado's really nice in the winter and sunny and beautiful. But the first night that we were back in the van full time and camping in Colorado, it was very cold.
It was very cold.
2 degrees at night cold.
It was not comfortable.
No.
We were in our sleeping bags, which is, it worked for sleeping. It was not the most romantic setting that we could have found. But yeah, so our first night, we left Denver a week ago today.
Oh, yeah. Has it only been a week?
It's crazy. Only been a week, which is wild. Yeah, we left on a Sunday, and we started trucking for warm weather.
Yeah. We were planning on going from Denver to Taos so that I could sit in some hot springs. But then we had that first cold night, and we were both like, forget this. We got to go.
We got to go
to Mexico.
Warm. So we bypassed Taos. We stayed our first night down around Salida, Colorado. Beautiful town in southern Colorado. Really, really nice.
We had pancakes. We had the best pancakes ever at the Patio Pancake Palace.
That's right.
Which is not its real name. It's actually called the Patio Pancake Place. It does not have a patio, but it has delicious pancakes, and you should all go eat there when you're in Salida.
unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it. On the menu, you ordered your breakfast, and then it either came with your choice of toast or pancakes.
It was basically my dream come true.
Yeah. I mean, and who would ever pick toast if your other option is pancakes?
I have no idea. They don't have booze, though, so our Denver friends, you don't want to go there because you guys all love breakfast booze.
Everybody loves breakfast booze.
It's true.
So, yeah, it was a really nice place to end up after a very, very cold night in the van. And then we continued down. Gosh, I guess we made it all the way to Arizona the next day.
We did, yeah. We camped right outside of the Four Corners area. Mm-hmm. We were at the Navajo National Monument, which, to be clear, was shut down due to the government shutdown. But we pulled in late at night, and we left pretty early. We didn't use any sorts of facilities or leave any trash anywhere or create a problem, really, of any kind.
We made sure to pack it in and pack it right back out.
It was beautiful, though, like one of the most beautiful spots we've woken up.
It was amazing.
So far.
But also very cold.
There had to have been probably 3 feet of snow.
At least.
And we were freezing, but Ralph was in heaven.
Ralph had a lot of fun.
He was so pumped.
We do have some photos of him that we can share with you at some point. And he was quite pumped.
Yes.
So anyway, we were in Arizona, but we were up high in elevation. You know, we were en route to Flagstaff. We hadn't even quite made it to Flagstaff yet. But, you know, we were still in the mountain territory of Arizona. And then the next day, we went and met a friend in Flagstaff who'd just gotten back from Baja.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some tips and pointers from him about where to go, how to get there, what to see, things like that. And then we continued down, and we stayed the night outside of Yuma, Arizona, the next night.
It was the craziest thing because as we were coming down the mountain from Flagstaff, like it was, I don't know, probably 32 to 36 degrees in Flagstaff. And it was sunny. It was beautiful. It was like a bluebird sky day. But we were coming down the mountain and all of a sudden it just was 71, like out of nowhere. It was amazing.
It was so nice. Yeah.
And the layers started coming off and the flip-flops went on. And we just were so happy.
It really felt like we switched zones completely, which I guess we did. I mean, I remember driving down the road and, you know, it'd say elevation 7,000 and then 6 and 5 and 4,000. And we just kept dropping and dropping down. And I don't know if anyone out there has ever been to Arizona, but it's nice and toasty even in the winter.
It was great. And then we camped on some awesome BLM land, yeah, outside of Yuma. And it was amazing. That was probably one of the best camp spots we've ever had.
It was really, really nice. We stumbled upon one also that had a bunch of firewood.
It had, oh my gosh, there had to have been like 20 hours worth of wood to burn.
At least, yeah.
It was insane.
So we used as much as we wanted and had a fire going for, you know, a good part of the night. And then the next morning, we packed up and, you know, we did our research to find out kind of where we needed to go and what we needed to get. And we drove from Yuma down to Calexico, California, right across the Arizona border. And we made it to the border checkpoint.
Yeah, easy peasy. There were a lot of people, mostly our moms, who were pretty nervous about us. Like driving into Mexico, I feel like. And it really was not a big deal at all. It was super easy.
It was super, super easy.
Like everything at the border, how long do you think we were there? Maybe 30 minutes?
Maybe 30 minutes. And it would have been less had we gotten our immigration paperwork ahead of time, which a couple people
we
saw down there had done that. But yeah, we walked into the immigration office. We, you know, filled out the paperwork. We paid $30 per person, and we got our immigration pass paperwork stuff that's good for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it really, yeah, I think 30 minutes is a fair estimate. Then, less than 20 minutes later, we got to a military checkpoint.
Which started the most stressful 30 minutes of our lives.
I think it may have been longer than 30 minutes.
It felt like longer. It was a long time. It felt like days.
They were really curious about who we were and what we were doing and why we were coming into Mexico. And
they were very curious about the big white van.
Yeah, just everything. Who built it, what we thought we were doing. And I was trying to kind of sweet talk them. I speak Spanish, and I don't know. I was trying to kind of ease the tension a little bit.
There was nothing to ease the tension. I think it was his first day. I think it was the military guy's first day. And so he was, like, very eager to do a good job because he pulled out, no joke, every single item in the cab of the van to smell. He smelled everything.
He really
did. My lip balm. I had some Aquaphor above my seat. He smelled that. He smelled everything. He was, like, looking at the crumbs of dirt where our feet go. It was nuts.
I don't know what he was looking for that he thought we'd be bringing in to
Mexico. He was looking for marijuana, but I don't know why anybody would take drugs to Mexico. Like, it seems like, and maybe this is an ignorant statement, but I would think that it wouldn't be hard to find here if I was looking.
It seems to me to be like a one-way valve. And no backflow.
Yeah.
But what do I know? Maybe there are people bringing stuff into Mexico, but we were not one of them.
He tried to ask Max to take down the ceiling of the van, at which point I think you were just like, listen, we are not trafficking drugs.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's no way we were going to do that. We spent so long putting this van together. And he was asking, like, where was it built and who built it? And were you there when it got built? And anyway, it all worked out. We got through the border, no problem. I guess in some ways it makes me feel a little bit better about the system. I mean, they were very thorough.
I was sure that for no reason at all, one or both or all three of us were going to the Mexican prison.
You think Ralph was going to go to Mexican dog jail?
Yeah, Mexican dog jail, 100%. We would never get him back, I bet. He's so good looking.
People like Ralph.
People like Ralph.
People actually have really liked Ralph since we've been down here, which has been, like we said earlier, 1 week since we crossed the border. And we've been trucking along pretty... No, sorry, it's not 1 week since we crossed the border.
No, it's 1 week since we left Colorado.
Right. I guess we've been in Mexico now...
4 days.
4 days. I think that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've had a great time. Oh, my gosh. The first day, we had a really long drive day. We probably were in the car total for about...
probably 8 or 9 hours.
8 or 9 hours, but we stopped off in San Felipe and had lunch and...
Walked on the beach a little bit.
It was so nice to just get... on the beach and get our feet in the water. And Ralph was really seeming to enjoy himself. Although I'm sure he enjoyed the 3 feet of snow at the Navajo National Monument more. But yeah, no, it was great. San Felipe was the first place that we stopped, but we didn't stay the night there. We continued driving and kind of just happened upon a really cool RV kind of encampment, I guess, for lack of a better word. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't really an RV spot. There was no water. There was no electricity.
No, I would call that a camping spot. It was like a camping spot. Not like an RV place. Mexico is really cool because all through Baja are just like people who own land on the ocean, and they generally rent out their beaches. And a lot of them have like little palapas you can use. Some of them are fancier than others. We stayed at one last night that had like... you know, hot water in a bathroom and all that jazz. But the first night, it was kind of just us, and it was beautiful. We saw a coyote in the wild.
We did see a wild Mexican coyote.
We saw a dead porpoise on the beach, which was fascinating.
I was not expecting that.
No.
It was smaller than I thought it would be. It was a small little...
I think that's why it was a porpoise and not a dolphin.
I see.
But any fish fanatics out there, send us an email and let us know what you know about dolphins and porpoises.
In the Gulf of California / Sea of Cortez. Because that's where this one came from. But yeah, no, that was a beautiful spot. There were only a couple other people there. We camped next to a couple that were on a big motorcycle trip through Baja. And yeah, they were really nice. Noah and Corinne,
mm-hmm,
if you're out there. Hi.
What was that place called?
That place was called Papa Fernandez.
Papa Fernandez.
And they had a restaurant, which we never really did try. And it seemed just like a big family of people living up there on the cliffs, kind of. And we took our big giant van up over a ridge and then down right to the beach. And yeah, it was great. I went for a morning swim.
Yep. I finished a book.
It was a really, really nice
spot. It was a nice time.
To stop.
Yeah.
And so then the next morning we, you know, did our thing. We went and paid our 100 pesos, which was the charge for staying overnight, which is around $6, which I thought was completely reasonable. And then we traveled down to the Bay of Angels, the Bahia de Los Angeles, which was a recommendation from our friend in Flagstaff. He really, really enjoyed the town when he was there. And our dreams came true because right when we pulled into town,
you hit the first stop sign, you go through the first traffic circle, the only traffic circle, and you stumble upon the most delicious fish tacos that I think I've ever had.
They were so good.
They were so good.
I mean, part of it, you got to factor in the fact that that fish is just so fresh.
Yep.
I mean, they're not bringing...
Well, and that lady's like making tortillas,
sure,
and making the gordita dough thing. I don't know what you call that. The gordita itself, I
yeah,
guess.
And yeah, so that was an amazing, you know, first experience in the Bay of the Angels. And it really is a beautiful, angelic, divine kind of place. I mean, the coast is littered with all of these huge islands that are just a couple miles off the coast, so you can see them really clearly. And they really rise out of the water really tall. I think they're volcanic based, yep, on the rocks that I was seeing down there. So that place was really, really nice. We cruised through there. We met the owner of this little place, again, that we found on iOverlander. And, yeah, met the owner and her son, and they were really, really nice. And we stayed the night, and the next day, we decided that we were going to stick around for another day.
Yeah, we had been driving a lot.
We had been driving a lot. Since, I mean, basically, since we left Colorado, we'd been putting in, you know, six-hour days every single day, which I know might not sound like a lot to everybody, but it was a lot for us. And then we had a bit of a veterinary issue with our dog, Ralph.
What happened? What do you think happened to Ralph?
You know, I'm still not quite sure. My guess would be that he ate some kind of dead and decaying
fish,
crab, something.
Yep.
That he found on the beach. But one morning we woke up and we went to take Ralph for a walk. First we brushed him, then we went to take him for a walk, and he literally...
We should pause to say that we brushed Ralph, and it was, like, not a traumatic event for any of us, which normally it is.
True.
Somebody ends up yelling or being frustrated, and Ralph was just chilling this time. He was, like, totally fine with it and letting us brush him.
Which should have been our first warning sign.
That should have been, like, a big red flag to us.
But no, it took until we actually got him out of the van and started walking with him. And he was walking so slow, like a 90-year-old grandpa.
He looked like a 12-year-old dog. Like, we both were like, oh, like, this is what Ralph will be like when he's old. He'll be so calm and docile.
He was very docile. He wasn't excited about anything. He was literally, like, plodding along like a tortoise.
And normally he would be sprinting free on the beach. He would be gone.
Right.
So gone.
Yeah, cool thing about this spot that we picked, it is pet friendly. And the night before, when we first showed up, Ralph was out on the beach with another dog, and he was sprinting and being his total normal self.
Yeah, swimming, smelling fish.
Chasing birds.
Chasing birds. He makes dog friends wherever he goes. He's so popular.
He really does. So anyway, we realized something was wrong with him, you know, based on his activities and his actions. And he wasn't eating anything. He didn't want to drink anything, drink any water. And, but, you know, we were out in the middle of nowhere. There were no veterinarians in the Bay of the Angels. I mean, we were...
There was, like, two supermarkets, and I say that in air quotes, because right. it's not the supermarket you guys are thinking of. And the taco stand lady in a bar, and that was about it.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, we decided that we would just continue to monitor Ralph and make sure, you know, he didn't get any worse and things like that. He didn't throw up, seemingly.
He just needed a day.
He just needed a day. Really, 2 days. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be back to normal today, so that's nice, especially because, like I said, we stayed an extra day in the Bay of the Angels, which I think he really needed. I don't think he would have enjoyed being in the car. He slept all day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday.
He slept on the beach and then under the van.
And then under the van when it got too hot. And we had a great time. Our second night of the Bay of the Angels, actually some Colorado guys showed up.
Small world.
And they brought some Colorado beer. They happened to know some of my friends because one of them is a front of house sound audio engineer. And he'd worked with my former coworkers at Swallow Hill Music.
Such a small world.
Small world. Mind-blowing. And, yeah, we partied with those guys last night. And actually with a bunch of international people.
Yeah, we made some new Swiss friends.
Yeah.
Alex and Pascal. We made some new...
Canadian friends.
Canadian French-Canadian friends.
Quebecois.
Mm-hmm. They were super
Richard and Marie-Claude.
Cool. They're traveling around long-term in an RV that they painted a giant, colorful octopus on, and it's really rad.
It's awesome.
If you ever see that, you should go say hello to them, because they're really cool.
So, yeah, we had a killer party, and then we woke up this morning, and...
We were a little hungover. We hit the tequila a bit hard.
Everybody did. It wasn't just us.
There was a big music jam happening, too.
Big jam.
Jam. Jamming.
So, yeah, that was a ton of fun. And then this morning we took off from the Bay of the Angels and we drove down through Guerrero Negro, which is on the Pacific side. So up until now, we'd only been on the Gulf of California side, which is the east side of Baja California.
The Sea of Cortez.
The Sea of Cortez. And then today, for the first time, we crossed over to the Pacific side. A lot of people, when they come down into Baja, they come from San Diego into Tijuana. And so they would start on the Pacific coast. Now, since we came down from Calexico / Mexicali is the town across the border in Mexico. And it's right across the Arizona border into California. So we came down kind of the inland, so to speak, eastern side of the Baja. And yeah, it was great. The road was a little bumpy. The road got washed out during
Hurricane
Harvey, or that same storm system. It got washed out. So there was a lot of gravel. The Sprinter did great.
When we say washed out, we mean like literally washed out. Like you would pull up to a bridge and there would be cones blocking you from being able to cross the bridge because the middle of it had just fallen away.
Yeah, like 50 feet of bridge would just be gone.
Yeah, it collapsed. Looked like something out of one of those movies that's about like the end of the world due to climate change. It was pretty crazy.
It looked like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although in America, it kind of looks like just our lack of infrastructure spending in general.
Yeah, well, we weren't in America.
No, we were in Mexico. And anyway, so the road was a little bit bumpy going down Mexican Highway 5, because again, a lot of it was just detours around what used to be a highway, and now is just like, seemed like a dirt road dynamited through the mountain, kind of, in some places, anyways. After leaving the Bay of the Angels, we took off towards Guerrero Negro. We had heard from our Swiss friends that we didn't want to stay in Guerrero Negro because... it's just maybe not the safest place at night. So we continued until we got here.
And here we are now, talking to you guys. We're excited about Guerrero Negro, though, because there is like a giant nature preserve off of a bay there. And that's where you could go see the whales. The whales give birth in that area. And so we're going to do that on the way home.
We're excited to hit that on the way back. We decided from talking to people and kind of based on some of our other plans that we had that we wanted to get down to the southern tip of Baja. This is near Cabo San Lucas and near Todos Santos.
La Paz.
We wanted to get down to that area and kind of set down roots a little bit and quit driving so much. And so as we go down, we're like making plans for what we're going to stop and see on the way back.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see those baby whales.
You are very excited about the baby whales.
So I'm excited about baby anything. We've seen a lot of cute baby dogs here.
Those are called puppies.
Baby dogs, right. Baby street dogs, and every single one of them I've wanted to take home with us in the van.
Which I suppose we could. I mean, I'm thinking they're going to ask for Ralph's vaccinations and documents and stuff when we get back to the States.
Yeah, maybe so.
Which we wouldn't have for a Mexican street dog, but I'm open to it.
I'll hide it under my shirt.
Yeah, hiding stuff crossing the border is always a good
idea.
Super
smart.
Well, cool, guys. We just wanted to give you a quick little update kind of on what we're doing, which for now is avoiding the winter by driving down into the warm.
Heck yeah.
And we're there. I mean, it's been in the upper 60s and low 70s.
I got a little sunburned yesterday.
We both got a little bit of sun yesterday. It's still cold at night. I mean, we are still in the desert.
Yeah, it's been chilly at night. I've been putting jeans and like a Patagonia on.
But it's been a lot of fun. And we'd really like you guys to join us on the journey as best you can. Probably the smartest way and the easiest way to do that is to check out the photos that we're posting up on our Instagram page, which is at Finding the Home. We're working on a blog, and we're still continuing to work on our website.
But so it is nearing completion.
It's getting close.
And we are pumped.
Super pumped. So we'll have that stuff up for you now. We'll talk to you about that on the next episode. And yeah, thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We're really looking forward to, you know, continuing everything we've got going on here.
Heck yeah. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, babe.
Abraham Lincoln.
Nice swing.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks again for listening, tuning in. From the van, Bowie. My name's Max.
My name's Kendall.
We've got Scruffy Ralph over here, and you've been listening to Finding the Home.
Finding the home, wherever we go, with the family dog, we're a fine trio, in a big white van. You know, wherever we go, we're finding a home.
You've been listening to Finding the Home. You can hear more from us and listen to other great podcasts at LawrencePodcastNetwork.com.